Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me.
The land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
They want
we give, showing others how to live.
We care, share, we love all through the land.
They want.
Well, good evening, good night, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you're listening in from. This is Cross Country Connect. And Waking Up with Linda McShane. You know, this show is being sponsored by CUC, Community Unification and Collaboration, an organization skilled with advisors and consultants to help you reach your goals, specializing in leadership training, workshops, skills, and focus on our precious youth out there. You know, they matter, it matters, but the most important thing is you matter. And we have the pleasure of having Professor Karen Bird, life coach, come on with us today. And she's going to share some great, great information. But, you know, in order to do anything that you need to do, it takes character. And your character is determined by how you challenge yourself and how you wrestle with your problems in a way that is unique to you. Is how character is polished and becomes diamond-like. So, you know, we have to all shine like those diamonds out there. But before we bring on, let me give you a little bit of this. Welcome into Cross Country Connect, and we are having a treat tonight with Professor Campbell.
You come to me. Give me everything.
Now, that's right. You know, we had to bring that down because, as I said before, they matter, it matters, but the most important thing is you matter. So if you don't have that to sing to anybody, look in the mirror and sing it to yourself. We have the pleasure of having Professor Karen Bird with us this evening, the life coach. Hello, Professor Bird. Thank you. Thank you.
Hi,
Miss
Linda. Oh, hi, Miss Linda. It's always so good to hear your voice, and it's been since, what, January, since we got together. And I'm sorry
That's
it's taken me so long to get back.
Well, you have things going on down there in Arkansas. You know, sometimes we have things that we have to focus on and make sure that that focus stays there, the weather, family situations, our health, our wealth. And I am so glad that we have this opportunity
yes.
to talk about this. You know, I never know which way you're going to go, but we're in sync with feeling. So I don't know.
Well, I don't know either. I don't know either because, you know, I meander and we find our way together. And so, and it has been a while since we got together, and I did have my mother has been sick and recovering. And so we have been, our family's been very focused on supporting her, and it looks like she is turning around. And thank goodness, it's just hard. You know, life is hard and going on those journeys when you're not used to the people you being that you love being, you know, stumbling and not always being who they are is, you know, and who you've
yes.
known them to be is very hard in life. So on that topic, actually what I wanted to talk about today was kind of the second part of what we started back in January was we were starting this series of expressing yourself and how do you express yourself. And in the lead-in, I heard you say, you know, your character is how you challenge yourself and shine like a diamond. And this is a continuation of that theme, too, because we're talking about being you and your you-ness, Y-O-U-ness. And so in our last podcast and my last life coaching blog post, we were talking in part one about how do you muster up the courage to express your true self? How do you get out of being stuck by the things that may hold you back from expressing you in the world? And one of the important concepts that we covered then is just kind of a, you know, kind of reaching back into that topic to carry on the conversation. But we talked about how it's important to not decide that you can't before you discover that you can. And I concluded with my favorite life quote, the one that I made up years ago for me, which is everything you need, you already have inside you. And when I say that, when I say you have everything you need and you have everything inside you on this theme of you-ness, we've been establishing that each one of us are born and imprinted and developed into our unique selves, like my Karen-ness, your Linda-ness, and for our listeners, their you-ness, whoever they are, they are uniquely one in the world. So it's easy to say my advice like, hey, you already have everything you need to be you. Well, sure, yeah, you have everything to be you because you are you. But that can be frustrating if you don't really know what I'm trying to say, and I'm still trying to unpack it, you know. So we talked about why people continue to feel unstuck or unsure or unsafe to express the real me or the real you, and they worry they won't be accepted, and what if the real me can't make it in the world, and what if the real me turns out to be broke or unhirable or unpromotable or, you know, just can't make a living or whatever. And so that discussion was about how we're sometimes our own worst enemies about the things we allow into our heads, the things that we tell ourselves. And what, continuing on that theme, I want to talk a little bit more about the messages that we see in society that are drilled into our heads over and over mm-hmm. again. So what comes to mind for me today on this part two of expressing yourself, I'm just going to start with, the societal precedents that are being set through social media and the boosts, the likes, the follows, the things that we see where people are trying to be recognized and accepted through some measurement, right, some external measurement. And also this disturbing trend that we see for flaming headlines in traditional media that may not even match the news article that they are seen at the top of, but the headlines are designed specifically to be provocative and controversial and worse, misleading. So all of this that's going on outside in the social media and the media has led to also, I think, this sort of trend that we see, maybe a more disturbing trend in our psyches, is the outward expression of ourselves that we are portraying, sometimes publicly, has come to be known as performative. And what I mean by performative, like the word performance, is that we may show what we think is who we are, but may not actually be who we are. And so this idea of being performative is the way that people act in the way they want to be seen rather than in the way they truly are. And I feel like they're forced unrealities, but they are damaging to our psyches. And worse, I'm just going to focus on the negative ones right now. These hateful, untrue, and misinformed messages get reinforced in our media, our minds. So what we see are we see influencers, we see high-profile personalities, we see politicians in the media performing or acting in a way that emphasizes differences. And these harmful messages are helping to preserve, deepen, or entrench the divide between us and them. And besides the hate that they can foment, they are also dangerously creating a culture for adults and youth alike that on some level embraces the idea that you need to be performative in order to be perceived as more valuable. So now we're back to the idea of your value. And you remember in some of our last podcasts, we talked about valuing your time. We talked about a year ago, one of our favorite topics was the art of doing nothing and just being still.
Yes.
And instead of trying to run to keep up and just being busy. So we're back to that idea of slowing down, and also looking inward. Because we've been taught by these outward influences, especially more recently in the past decade or so, that the more you inflame or instigate, the more valuable you are. Or even maybe this, the more radical or hateful your ideas are, the more value or standing you hold in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take a breath.
Yeah. And my finger hurt.
Your reaction?
My finger's hurting over here because I'm coming in, and even you say our uniqueness, which is very important, but I focus in on the messages sent, and not only it goes across the board of everything, and I'll just share this briefly, you know, and it's about what we've learned and what we have to unlearn to relearn again. But this hatred, the influencers, the politicians, see, persons when you don't know who you are and you're trying to fit in, that word fit, F-I-T.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Instead
right.
of blending, puts you in a category where you think that this is what you have to do. But when you learn the difference between fitting in and blending in, your whole attitude changes. It's all about a mindset. So if you're working on your mindset and you're getting your focus, all of these distractions that are coming up, they won't bother
you. Okay, perfect.
You.
So I want to hold that idea. And I made some notes while you were talking too. So that you're helping me. That's kind of we're unpacking this idea and building some more ideas into it. Okay.
Yes.
So there is a lot of negative stuff going on there, and I love what you said about you have to unlearn what you have learned. And so when we see all this negativity out there in society, I want to say, even though I'm emphasizing it right now, it's not new. it's not a new idea. In other words, in order to advance your views and to heighten your visibility out there, the formula for years has been to stir up controversy. And
yes.
I grew up in journalism and went to school for journalism and trained to be a journalist, but I was taught that you've learned, I was taught to believe that watchdogs, journalists, they were watchdogs, and we were doing a good job as watchdogs because what we were doing was digging up the truth and exposing it and holding evil or corrupt people or businesses or government accountable. That's what traditional journalism, traditional media used to do, and I believed that. Yeah. But now media is not even about unearthing the truth. And now I'm questioning if it ever was, but media has become about pushing out algorithms that support what some people want to be seen as the most popular messages. See, by having this ability to push things out through algorithms and, likes and shares and all that, what we're doing is spreading more of the seeds of these ideas through this virtual acceptance, or not even acceptance, but passing it along and making sure people get exposed to these messages so that they appear to be the most popular or the most true. So that said, I've been a college professor over the years. I'm not doing that anymore. But I, as somebody used to study media and communications, I appreciate the connected world that we live in because of the Internet of Things. I have to say, as an individual, I like being able to find anything, anytime, on the Internet. And thank you, Google. I like the rich insights that information can give me. I use it to research and study the ideas I'm interested in. I use it to see what other people are doing and thinking and talking about anytime, anywhere. But today, for the topic of your you-ness and that you matter, I want to list three ideas. And so here's where I'm going to start with my list. You know how I do. I want to hone in on this idea about the way that looking outwards can affect your self-image and or your self-confidence or your belief in yourself, and also the idea that you may discount how much you matter because you see all this other stuff happening out there. Okay, so number one, first, though I'm just going to, this is my posit, the way you look or perform in the world has nothing to do with your value. Oh my gosh, that's the opposite of what we're told every day.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so many of us have adopted a method, unfortunately, of defining our worth through the number of looks we get, the number of likes we get, the number of zeros behind the dollar sign, the on our paychecks, the letter grade we receive on our homework, our schoolwork, the titles we hold, the trophies and awards we have and display, the letters behind our names, and I have two of them. My MPS for my master's degree letters, and APR for my hard-earned accreditation in public relations. Even I have those dumb letters after my name. Lord knows. I have done my share of mountain climbing and setting a goal to get to the summit of some desired achievement. And I have often and believed that setting goals is the way to be. But here's where I am the anti-goals person today. What if the real truth is that you are automatically imbued with value by the mere fact that you are a human being?
That's right. You know I'm going to do that.
I know, Miss Buddha. Is what if it does not matter at all whether you are recognized by other people's standards or opinions? What if only thing that mattered was that you recognize your worth as a human being and that you are conscientiously making a contribution to the harmony of life? That probably does sound Buddhist. I didn't realize when I was writing that, because I have studied Buddhism.
very humanitarian. And when I'm not going to elaborate on, you know, when you made the statement of letter grades. When I attended Antioch University, they don't do letter grades. They don't believe in it. They do evaluation, okay? Because what is an A, B, or C? Does that say you're A person, B? So I admired them for that. And the accolades back there that we have behind our name, yeah, you work very, very hard for that, to get to that. But when you see looking outward to see the belief, and it's all about how you taught, what you learned as a child. You're talking with a Texan here. We operate a little bit differently, okay, across the globe. So the way you look or perform creates your value. Well, if you are who you are and you know who you are, what does performance make? I get statements and throughout the years, well, if you don't do it like this, nobody's going to listen. You know what I tell them? Sounds pretty good to me. And they leave me alone because I'm not looking, I'm not doing what I do for numbers or hits or likes or algorithms. I'm doing what I do because it's my calling. It's a vow that I have made to myself. So when you're looking on the outside, the influences and the stuff, that's where you have to separate, stay in focus, because those are distractions to me. And whenever you can separate a focus from a distraction, you can pretty much stay on track. So I'm a firm believer.
Well, it's true. It's true that you have to be you in every environment, and it is true that you will get redirected and stymied and sometimes corrected or tried or, you know,
blocked.
Like put certain environments because
yes.
People, this is what we do. We do try to package things so that they will be what historically has been accepted as popular or acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Or this mm-hmm. is the formula that people have bought before, so this is what you need to do in order for it to be accepted in this case.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it every day at my job at where I work now in Arkansas, and I hate to see people's creativity stymied because it doesn't fit with the way that we do it here or the way that we have historically done it here or the way that we know people will accept it. But it is true that that happens on the job. Or let's say that happens if you're an artist and you're a performer in as an actor or a musician. It happens every time you walk into that system. There are social pressures that say, well, you can't do it this way. But then despite, if you look at the stories that we love about artists and musicians and achievers and people who've just been themselves, the reason they became so well-regarded is because they fought back and they said, I'm going to be me no matter what. And then what happens is, and then you see, I love those stories. I watch lots of those movies. You see that because they push through those obstacles of the way we normally do it or the way that people will accept you because, you know, it fits over here, this genre or this category or whatever. And then you see these breakthroughs where they go, wait, that doesn't really fit. That person is really doing something different. And then we love them. We go, yay for being you. And, you know, I may not like it because it's not my taste. But God love you for being you. And, you know, that is, I mean, I do see a lot of good things. So I don't want to say that we don't have ways to break through. The point is we are trying to help people by this discussion day realize that the breakthroughs happen because you have to internalize that the way you look or perform really has nothing to do with your value, despite what you're being told out there, despite how hard you may try to fit in, like you said earlier, or to fit a mold. You may try to mold yourself.
It never works.
You may.
It never works. You have to be who you are and bring who you are. It'll work for a minute, or it might get you to level one, but you're going to be a very unhappy person because you're not being you.
Right.
You're being something that
right.
somebody wants you to be.
Perfect.
And so
perfect.
These persons that do that don't know who they are. They don't know their value. So when you're an individual and you see things or you're in a situation and you say, no, think so, I'm not doing that. I know my value. If you can't recognize it, too bad for you. So you have to be courageous in who you are. You have to continue to polish that diamond of building that character. That character of just as your mindset. It's all about mindset, all of this stuff. And that fit and brand. When I hear someone say, when I'm just trying to fit in, no, you don't fit in, you blend in. And I'm going to say it again. And if you're getting ready to make a smoothie and you find out that those strawberries and those blueberries are rotten, don't get in that bowl because that's not going to be a good tasting smoothie. Okay? So the fit and the blend, that fit, the only thing you do is blend with
yeah.
yourself
yeah.
and be who you are.
Yeah.
You can't, I mean, we're unique. We're individuals.
I want to save that. You just gave me an idea for next podcast talking about the blending in. I think there's a bigger topic there we could explore about community.
Okay.
And
okay.
choosing the community that you do mesh with, because it is important
okay.
to not to be yourself, but with other people that
yes.
that not are like you, but that share a similar mindset or worldview, so that you are appreciated and you do feel like you can be yourself. Okay, but that's a whole other topic. I'm
okay.
making some notes.
Okay. Okay.
You can be comfortable. You can be comfortable being yourself, and you know what I'm talking about, because that environment allows you to feel like you can be yourself and be safe there. Okay, so let's go back. So let me recap. Number one was we said be sure to know that the way you look or perform in the world has nothing to do with your value. Now, second, okay, here's another thing
okay.
we see because of the way media has influenced us. Second,
okay,
comparing yourself to others that you see on social media or in the public eye is a useless exercise. And
oh,
so
yeah.
if people are taking notes, here's what I would say is comparing yourself to others you see out there, you know, is a useless exercise and can be harmful. Okay. So my thoughts on that. It is natural to want to present yourself positively. Of course, that is what you see when you follow someone famous or even sometimes friends and acquaintances on social media. What you see is people putting their best foot forward, you know, portraying themselves positively. But if you're a person who is susceptible to what psychology calls social comparisons,
yeah.
that's actually the term. If you're a person who's susceptible to social comparisons to begin with, it can be mm-hmm. bad for your self-esteem when you follow someone's more exciting or more successful than your life. So what if, yeah, so I'm asking now, what if social media was something that you could use to occasionally discuss the less than perfect aspects of your life? What if sharing a bit of truth, even if painful, helps others feel connected to you and maybe could even give them the opportunity to support you. Okay.
Well,
and you know,
yes.
you and I've done it even on this. We've done this
yes.
on the podcast.
We go through it. We go through it. We share. We care. Sometimes we cry. We do all of that. But with me, personally, I am not one that likes to run naked in the neighborhood, if you understand what I say. I'll put
yeah, you
information.
Don't expose all your... Mm-hmm.
No. I'm in your face, face-to-face, heart-to-heart. But you do have to do relatable stuff out there. So when it comes down to connecting and sharing, I like to have that in a face-to-face, one-on-one, private type setting. And the reason why, if you notice, I don't allow people to call into the show. I can take 20 callers, but if I don't know you're calling and I don't know that number, I'm not going to pick it up. And I've had experience in the years before. You just can't call in because you have to keep it positive and make it happen. And a lot of individuals call in because they're at a certain set of mind and they say some derogatory, unprofessional, disrespectful stuff. And I cannot allow my listeners to hear me go off on them. So I don't allow that. I don't allow it because I'm going to hit you.
Okay.
And so I learned that years behind. A lot of people want to call in and destroy, demean, do whatever. But I understand what you're speaking of is letting a part of you. I think with me, I'd have to do it in a book. I'd feel better doing it in a book.
Right, right.
And sharing
it
in my painful.
And that's your story, and that you're in control of the narrative, and it's written down, and it's indisputable, or at least it's chronicled in a way that is more permanent, so nobody can attack it or rip it apart or answer it or comment on it, which I understand.
Right.
So I'm asking just as a concept again. You know, I tend to stay up in my head, but about this negative trend of making social comparisons and feeling bad about ourselves, what if we looked at or created ourselves, this is a big idea, what if we were honest on social media and instead of the raging misrepresentation we so often see, what if this honesty was used to help mitigate the negative effects altogether? So what a shift this would be in our country and throughout the world. And we do see this. I'm just saying the question. What a shift would it be to see honest and moving portrayals of small moments of humanity that matter, small moments of joy, small moments of meaningful human connection and caring. And by the way, I do subscribe to some of those myself because I need those moments, those injections of truth and honesty on social media. So yeah, we see it. But we do see that. But what often gets the attention and what gets shared, forwarded, and repeated is the yucky stuff. And I'm just saying to our listeners that if it's true that, this is Coach Karen talking now, if it's true that, quote, you are what you consume, close quote, my advice to you as a life coach is be careful to stay away from the yucky stuff because guess what? It makes you sick. It makes
you run.
Mm-hmm.
You must run. I'm going to share this, and I'm going to stretch out our time whatever we need. But, you know, I like to go and I like to find out different stuff and find out research. And I attended for the whole week for 5 straight days. There was a challenge, a workshop, and it was on diabetes. They were talking about health and wellness, and, you know, we stretch out with health and wellness, but my focus is on the youth. And diabetes is a disease that is there. It's a money maker. It takes your life. It makes you all of these things. But the beautiful part about it is that the persons that were there were all like-minded, all going through it. You could relate to it. But the most important thing that was there is they were talking about the good and the bad. That is what we're about. We try to bring some sunshine to people as far as letting them rethink, do some critical thinking, however way we do it here, because when you light a candle for others, your path becomes brighter. And it can be done out there, but as media is today and the trend today, as you said, you're going to have to fight some. You know, you might not get 9,052 likes because most people like to hear crap because that's where they are. People like to be entertained with the negative, okay? The negative versus the positive. I cannot understand why someone would want to remain in a negative sector because a negative is one line. That one line can fit anywhere. But if you look at that positive, that's corners. So why can't one concentrate on taking up 4 corners? So, yes, it can be done. And it's being done daily very, very low because it is the hatred. It is the the impressing. It is the comparison. I'm going to ask you before I let you go on. I don't really know because I'm not a therapist, but years ago, when we talk about the ego and we talk about the id, I never really put them together, but I had a friend that was into it, and she says, Linda, what I found out about you is your id is ego. I said, really? What does that mean? And she said that you're who you are, and you like being who you are, and you're not trying to be anybody else. I said, yeah, you're right. So my id has been zero all my life, and I like it like that. Because once you start comparison and competing, I tell people all the time, I can't even compete with myself. And the only person I will compete with is myself. Okay, so you don't stand a chance. And go on. But that's my mindset. Yeah. That's my what I learned. You know, and I'm not going to relearn.
I've said this before to you, and I've reinforced it numerous times in our podcast, that you are very fortunate to walk this path that you have, that you unequivocally and unapologetically accept and like yourself. That is unusual. Most people don't. So you're very fortunate. And I've been learning from you, you know, because there's a whole wreckage. There's a whole wreckage out there of broken, unsatisfied people who really, including me, who really don't value their you-ness like they should, and stumble and forget who they are and let other people influence them and feel bad and be too sensitive with criticism and all that stuff. So I write and I study these things and I share these things in my practice like you and I talked about, because I'm teaching and relearning myself, because I allowed all of these bad influences and bad thinking to shape so much of my life. And I'm done with it. I'm tired of it. I'm really, really tired of it. I wish I had found it earlier in life like you did, you know, and felt so confident in my walk. But you know, this is the reason I share this, like I say, is for, I think other people may struggle with it like I do. And so here's a third idea, which is pretty self-evident again, but for anybody who hasn't really thought about it in a while, I want to say the third idea is that in order to reinforce for yourself that you matter, it can help to focus on the idea that you do not have to be in a, quote, ideal state, close quote, before you find joy or feel successful. So I want to talk about this a little bit more. We human beings have a desire to improve and to pursue an ideal state. So starting in childhood even, children excel based on the things they do, their studies, their sports, their interests. Oftentimes they excel on these things, excel in these endeavors in order to be good for their parents and to attract their parents' attention and approval or positive regard. And maybe that goes on where they continue to perform, back to that idea of performing, because that gets them positive attention from teachers or principals or, you know, the coach on the sports team or whatever. So as children, we may have learned, going back to your point about kind of unlearning what we learned, as children we may have learned that in order to be perceived as special, you have to make a special effort. And that, again, is a performance. And Lord knows I've done my share of pursuing some academic or athletic or other goal. But not, in my case, I will say, not necessarily for the recognition, for the way it made me feel. Like, did it make me feel like I did stand out or like I was popular? See, especially like I was a cheerleader. I was the captain of the cheerleaders. I ran for president of the student council in the ninth grade and beat Herbert Washington. Sorry, Herbert, if you're listening, you know I love you. And then I got to high school and I went on to continue competing every year to stay on the cheerleading squad, because you weren't just given it. You had to work your butt off to get on the squad and to stay on it. And then I still was co-captain my senior year with my best friend, who is still my best friend, by the way. Love you, Norma. Shout out if you're out there listening. but this idea that I was always pushing myself, striving for the next level, right? Next level, level up, you know, push a little harder and then get to college, get my degree, but kind of fumble along in my career for 30 years and then all of a sudden discover higher ed and decide, oh, I can teach. Oh, then I need to go back to school and get my master's degree. I was 50 years old when I went back to school and got my master's degree so that I could teach as a part-time professor. And, you know, so I was always challenging myself, you know, and I learned to ride a motorcycle at age 55 and got my M3 license in California and had a 250cc, you know, scooter that I was driving down to San Diego from Riverside. You know, I've been a crazy person. I snow skied at age 30 for the first time. I mean, I pushed these things because I wanted to do them and not necessarily for the recognition, but to keep pushing myself. But I want to go back to this idea of where I am now and why I'm talking about these things now. So back to childhood. Let's say that, you know, children are doing things to be good, to get good attention. But isn't it interesting that children often exhibit problem behaviors, even to the point where they're punished or rebuked, but continue those negative behaviors, because even negative attention is better than none. If you are if you're being bad, you're still getting attention.
You know,
and I want
I'm
to,
so glad.
Yeah, go ahead.
Said that because, you know, we are all energy out here, and energy, some of us do send out more good than bad or vice versa, but our energy that we distribute out there, I tell people all the time, people want your energy, and they will come in a good way or a bad way, as long as that you can get that energy. And that's the same with the child. The child acts out, and it doesn't matter whether he did back in my day, they don't use the word get his spanking because they don't do that anymore, or not, because that little pain just lasts a little bit, but he has gotten the attention of who he wants to get the attention of. So it's a thing, it's the energy that moves, and when you say children make the special effort, let me tell you, I'll share briefly. That attention, me personally, they never gave it to me. I could always, but they taught me, my parents taught me to entertain myself. Sometimes I could play with my kids in the community, and sometimes they would say, play by yourself. And at that time, I didn't know, but now I know why, because they were teaching me that I didn't have to be in the crowd, that I could lead myself, and whatever I wanted to do, don't wait on nobody to do it for me. But I didn't realize what was happening at that time. But the attention, they wouldn't give me, if I was screaming or I was very, very in control. I was the baby girl. So I got away with a lot of stuff. I went into junior high and high school. I wasn't getting that release. Everything that I got, like you say, cheerleading, I was a twirler, I was a five-baton twirler, I was very, very, thing I went out for, and I had to fight for it, okay, but I was determined to get it, and I would get it, so no one really paid me any attention at all, so I had to learn myself, and learn how to go get it myself, and be determined to get it. And not letting it, but it depends on how you're treated as a child, the attention. So I don't need your attention. I know how to give it to myself.
Right.
But
it
was because of all of the things that I had to go to, the blockage and stuff. So I work with the young adults I work with, and I have them understand how important they are and how they don't have to follow the crowd and to lead. When we're working on plays or we're working on anything, I let them handle it. What you want to do? I let them run it because it's really their thing. And the only thing I tell them is I don't care what you do, I'm not going to jail.
Right.
So make it that legal and I got your back.
Right.
So it all comes
And on that note, on that note, I want to follow on that, because while we're talking about what you learn and develop through childhood, and because that time is so important for shaping who you're going to be and how you're going to contribute as an adult, when you get a little older sometimes, you even may go, sorry, Kanye, I may be talking about you, for the bad boy or the bad girl image in order to appear not ordinary. Okay.
Yes.
We want to stand out because we don't want to be seen as a boring or inferior or like everybody else or not normal. But life coach Karen is saying now, what if self-acceptance means accepting that you are normal?
Okay. Coach,
what if you can accept the concept? Yes.
I have a question on that. And
okay.
I have a statement on that. And when I had my child care facility, I had a sign on the door, and it said, we're all dysfunctional in here, and normal people scare us. So when you say the word normal to me, I take a different. What is normal? Who is that?
That's right.
Who set
well,
the plan on normal?
And that's my point.
Okay.
You just made my point. That society out these messages that there's a right way or a wrong way. There's a normal. There's an abnormal. There's a functional. There's a dysfunctional. The truth is, instead of saying we're all dysfunctional, just say dysfunctional is being normal. It's normal to be dysfunctional. So what if self-acceptance means accepting that you are normal and that you are fine just the way you are? Oop, wait, what?
Yeah.
You can accept the
You're fine.
You can accept
but
the
you
concept.
Know that angers people. That angers people when you find just the way you are, because they can't direct you or dictate to you or guide you. Everybody's open for suggestions. We each one teach
what?
One. You can learn from a baby.
What if?
But they can't when they can't control
What if you can not only accept the concept that you're fine just the way you are and you're normal, and that, by the way, not being special by society standards, that by not striving to be special by society standards, you can actually be satisfied just being you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What
a concept.
Yeah, it's a beautiful concept. It's a beautiful way to live. As I get older, I learn how to express it a little differently. Because I could really let you know how I felt about it. But as I said, as I gain more wisdom, I try to use softer words. But when you have that all in your life, it's very difficult for an individual to come and try to control that. To me, that's a form of control. That is a form of control. And we're not here just because I don't move at the pace you think I should, or I'm not doing this because you think I should, but you're not contributing to the plot to make sure that it happens quickly and everything, pattern.
Every social interaction, Linda, is an agreement. It's a social contract. Mm-hmm. So if you enter into an environment, like let's say going back to college like you and I did, and you go into classrooms, you do have to perform a certain way to earn a certain number of milestones, and that usually includes grades or, like you said, some evaluation. But somebody's in charge of that environment, so there is some control. But if you agree to enter into that contract, then you agree to those norms. Now, let's step back a little bit. What I just said, what if you could accept the concept of being normal, and that the danger of not being special by society standards means if you give up actually trying to not be special, you can actually be satisfied just being you. So am I saying you shouldn't enter into these personal challenges and these environments where you're held to a standard? Am I saying that you shouldn't have lofty or big goals?
No. What are you saying? And that's how we met. You remember? My statement in class is I'm not going to argue with my professor because if I knew everything, I'd be standing up there and she'd be sitting out here. That's my take when I go into things, into structured, as I should say, environments. It's the mindset. What do you hear from? I hate students that argue with the professor or, you know, hey, if you knew everything, then you'd be standing where she was. Listen to what you have to say and then summarize it. And let's all get together and talk about it.
But you're more patient than a lot of students. I've had nightmare stories from professors who are friends of mine. Fortunately, I've never been through this, but where they were challenged by a student, the student challenged their grade, escalated it to the dean, escalated it to the administration because they disagreed that the professor should have that kind of judgment or control over their work. And then it's a tug of war between, you signed up for, what you signed up for was this contract to follow a path that goes a certain way, and I'm sorry that, you know, maybe you don't like that teacher, you don't like the way they grade your work, but while you're in the classroom, you've got to play by their rules. So what I'm saying, and those are all life lessons. I mean, I hate those struggles of control and power and authority. I hate them. But so if we're saying, what if self-acceptance means accepting that you're normal? And what if you don't have to reach an ideal state? Like, let's say you don't have to make another degree or earn another level of income or have another trophy on the shelf or climb another mountain. Let's say you don't have to reach another ideal state because you're always in it. Because when you're, and I'm kind of trying to wind down because we need to summarize, we're almost done out of time. Because when you are out of balance with yourself, you tend to experience life as a series of problems. And I'm talking myself now because I've been pretty depressed about some of the things that have been happening in my life. But the character of happiness for humans, I think, is this idea of knowing your worth and knowing that you're imbued with worth and value just because of the fact that you are a human being. You are not the one who decides your worth, not necessarily. Paradoxically, though, you don't need to seek it by having others assign your worth to you. What I'm trying to say is you are worthy just because you are you. Everyone matters. You matter. Everyone needs a feeling of contribution to this world that we live in. It is normal to have a desire for recognition. You matter, but knowing this should be based, in my opinion, on a desire to like yourself. And so the essence of this idea today is self-acceptance. So I called it You Matter, but really the essence of the idea, and we wandered all around and meandered. The essence of it is self-acceptance. Yeah. So I want to repeat the three assertions to wrap up our idea and to unpack it for people. So here were the three ideas. Understand that the way you look or perform in this world has nothing to do with your value. And that sounds like an argument, but it is. Go back and listen to what we talked about because it's an argument. I'm saying I'm the antithesis of what you've been told in the world, right? Number two, know that comparing yourself to others you see on social media or in the public eye is a useless exercise and can be harmful. That's number two. We talked about how you are what you consume, and that can be yucky. It can make you sick. Okay, number three, realize that you do not have to be in an ideal state before you feel joy or feel successful. So at the beginning of this podcast, at the end of the last podcast, Coach Karen said, you already have everything that you need inside you to be you. So I'm just encouraging our listeners today to keep looking inward and not outward. And what's happening out there is not you, but by being you and uniquely sharing you, you may realize along the way that you are indeed special. And the reason you're special is because there's only one you. There is truly no one like you.
Well, I'm going to add on to that because, you know, I love it when you come on because we go this way. When you talk about, you know, people putting you there, in my philosophy, we talk about the eight wins. And those eight wins are prosperity, decline, disgrace, honor, praise, censure, suffering, and pleasure. Those are eight winds. So we don't allow ourselves to be blown away by the eight winds. And even though we all need praise, we all need some type of validation or whatever, but you don't want to be blown along like a leaf on a tree branch out there. So you touched on the eight winds, okay? You definitely talked about the character, because it's very important. You have to keep polishing that diamond. But when you say what society has us with the social media, that's those mirrors we talk about all the time. Because really, we're right. mirrors to each other. We're mirrors, okay? Now,
right.
you look in that mirror and you see that person, you say one or two things. Either you want to be like them in their behavior, or you don't want to be nothing like them. That's what a mirror is. A mirror shows you that reflection. And on the end of it, when you say you are, you have to look inward. I'm going to take it to the health and wellness end of looking inward. You know, we can look okay on the outside. We cannot have any pain. We cannot have anything. But what are we doing to figure out what's happening on the inside? See, everything is in and out. It starts on the end, so I just have to state this again. You know, working with this five-day challenge and listening to people talk and thinking about things, I don't fall all the way in the category, but it was so educational. It was so informative. It was like an aha moment, because as we say, you have to be this way or that way, but are they telling you, what is this way or that way? They're not telling you what it is. Same thing with our health. Same thing with getting well. You go to the doctor, you say, I got an ache in my ankle, and if you have a pre-existing condition, they'll blame it on that condition. But nobody's taking out the time to find out the root of that. Same with ourselves. Once we understand our root, and I'm just saying, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, because we always get here. Once you understand the root, what you're planted in, and that's like my friend James Baldwin says, whence you know from whence you came, there's absolutely nowhere that you can't go. Nothing is impossible. He's talking about that base, that root down there. So I can feel the way I feel, and I'm proud to say, is because that root, how they watered my root. And why should I want to change who I am? Why should I not be joyful and happy being who I am? Because I don't have to worry about it. And the only thing that a person that's worried or falling in that category, they're going to be crazy out of their head, because my mother, and I've said it before, told me as a young child, do not allow yourself to be impressed by others. Do not waste your energy trying to impress others, because if you do, you're going to get screwed every time. She didn't say it that nice, but I was six or seven years old. So my attitude or my behavior toward celebrities or anybody out there that's thinking that they got it going on, that's so that I want to be like, no, let them look at me and be like me, because I don't have those headaches, I don't have those worries, and I like being just who I am. And if you don't like it, guess what? You're going to have to just go take aspirin about it, because you can't change it. See, this is my happiness and my joy, and that's what we all, that gives us that strength building out there. I'm running in the neighborhood a little bit naked now, and we have to remember, no one is better than you. But you also must remember that you're no better than anybody. It's a blend out here. Humanity is a blend. Like you say, those neighborhoods, those communities. Get in the communities that you're comfortable in. How you going to go in a community and all they eating is strawberry ice cream, and you all you have ever had was vanilla? So that's going to make you uncomfortable, because you don't know about that strawberry ice cream. So I'm in agreement with you on that, Professor Bird, is that you missing you, the expressing, and the trend that's going out here to throw our psyche out of balance, okay? Because there's a lot of individuals that they don't have that type of courage. They didn't have that type of
upbringing. Well, and they're and they're susceptible.
Yes.
So in other words, they're gullible, or their minds can be changed, or their hearts can be heavy. And they don't have that inner strength that you're talking about.
Or that inner voice, or that encouragement. It might be inner strength, encouragement. It might be my stubbornness. I've been stubborn ever since it can't move me if I'm not going to move. Okay, but that's just, I had to do that. That was my survival. So when you go back and when you go out for presidents of these clubs, and I was a chaplain of an all-girls club, and I would never go to the meeting. And I was a chaplain. They say you never show up at the meeting. I toss my quarter and say, put my dues in. My prayer's not going to help you no way. So that was my attitude, or anything that I would go out for. You know, like I headed up a drum and bugle drill. I was active. But I had to fight for it because they wanted their friends to have it. And I'm saying, I'm getting this. So when you talk about determination, I would be in the backyard with a lantern and a pair of shorts and my baton. I knew that baton, I could look at it and it would do what I wanted it to do. That's how connected we were, because I was fighting. Nobody was showing me anything. They didn't want me to have it, but I wanted it.
Yeah.
So when I got ready to do my performance, I didn't know anything but my commands, right? Because they didn't show me anything. They wanted me to fail, but I was determined. So what I did, since I knew my baton, we had a relationship. I threw that baton up to the sky, to the moon. It hit the top of my head. I wrapped it down my body, brought it back up, and took a bow. And guess who was captain of the north side of the I got it. You see, I had to work for it. I went a little bit different, but I got it. So from that experience, that experience, I learned that it's not about what they want. It's about what you want. And how willing are you to be determined to get it without harming anyone? See, you're supposed to, they say, well, you'll step on anybody. No, I will step over them. And as I'm stepping over them, I will bring them through so they can come along with me. It doesn't feel good to be stepped on. But because they're stepping on people, they want to put you in the same category. So when we talk about expressing
some people feel left behind, Linda, because what if you work so hard and so determined and focused to get what you want, and yes, you can offer to take other people along with you, but not everybody feels encouraged by that. And that's what I'm talking about, is that so many people fall back and get stuck and feel bad about themselves because they go, well, that's good for you, but that's like a grand or big thing that I can't do. And so I'm just refocusing and asking and trying to reach the people that are probably more like I am, that don't have a lot of self-confidence sometimes and don't have a voice inside our head that is stubborn and persistent and do hear all the criticism and do compare ourselves and do think, well, I'm not good enough. You know what I'm saying? So I think, I mean, I appreciate, and that's probably why we have stayed in this friction that we're in when we have these discussions, is because I learned from you, because you are so strong internally. And, you know, I feel like I'm constantly having to pick myself and brush myself off and feel good about myself because I allow myself to get down. You know,
well, that's because we're all individuals, and it's a good thing to have that blend again, because when one can't see, the other one does, and when one is up, the other one is down, and then eventually they pull each other together. But if everybody's working out there trying to satisfy the media and do the comparison and be up, I might go down, but I don't stay down too long, okay, because I really don't have time. But that's just my makeup. So to me, it's like that fight, and because of that, there's many, many out there that try to knock you down. See, when you have that type of trait, your problem is who's out there trying to block it. You know, have you heard this statement? The people that you help in the past end up being your enemies. Do you know what that means?
No.
I laugh about it. I say, oh, I know what that means. That's just my acknowledgement. That means...
You mean like when people are threatened by you?
They become your enemies. You helped them in the past, but they become your enemies. And I always laugh because knowing the nature of people, they become your enemies because you're not giving all your time to them anymore. You're giving your time to you. So they can't deal with that. And they get angry about that. So that's my look at it. But we're all different. That's why it's such a beautiful thing that each one teach one, that balance there. And everybody's scales are not the same. They're not the same. People have no idea of where this attitude came from. Because you didn't take out time to know. But you got a person that has to fight for everything they got, you got a problem. Because they're not going to retreat and back up, and you can't make them feel nothing that they don't feel about themselves. Okay, you can't, it won't work. Because they have toned it out. It's a distraction. And the focus is on getting the job done and keeping themselves where they are. Focus in a distraction. Those two things that bounce off of each other, that other stuff, all this hate in the media that you talked about, how things are out there. When I was in broadcast journalism, you couldn't talk about each other. You remember those times? You couldn't say nothing bad about that station.
Oh, you didn't give
there.
Your opinion. No, you
no.
didn't give an opinion at all. It was all
no.
fact.
It was all yeah. fact. Do you know that? And
yeah.
you fact-checked that. Nowadays, I said, oh, my God, broadcasting, because I was broadcasting journalism. I've always wanted to turn the knobs and blah, blah, blah. I didn't just get up on Monday and say, I'm going to do this on Friday. I came the full gamut of it. So if I wanted to sound like CNN, I have the skill to do that, okay? But journalism had ethics. Now it doesn't. It's horrible. Sometimes I just turn off the
yeah.
TV. I said, I can't believe that was said. I can't believe
yeah.
they're
yeah.
feeding. It's like amusement.
Yeah.
The more mess. And you know what that does as far as I'm concerned, Professor Bird? That keeps us, our minds bogged up. That's distraction. That's distraction and destruction.
Yeah. We've got to do another podcast on that. I'm serious. Because I'm with you on
yeah.
that. I'm gonna make some notes. And I think we are probably at the end of our time.
Well, that's okay. I don't mind whenever you come on from cross country all the way down there in Arkansas. I will extend time for you because it's always
okay.
a pleasure. We have a connection. I still see those ducks. When I get all depressed, I see myself riding on one of them ducks down there in the pond, okay? And I'm going to get there eventually. Always a pleasure. We always, yeah, but we've done this from day one.
So let's talk about those ducks. Let's talk about those ducks, Miss Linda. The way the ducks operate, the way that they are, even a duck cannot learn to fly without learning it from another member of the species. And ducks learn very young, but they have to watch and they have to fail and they have to try again before they ever learn to fly. And ducks are a communal species like humans are. And ducks imprint from the moment a duckling is born, a duck will imprint on whoever, even if it's a human being instead of a duck, you know, they'll imprint on whoever is there taking care of them. And then they start mimicking and learning.
Wow.
And, you know, and it's amazing, you know, so when we talk about the ducks and they fly in formation and they support one another as a team, because if somebody ducks take turns leading, so the ducks behind them can rest because they create
yes.
draft under their wings and in their formations, and they allow the others to sort of rest back a little bit, and then somebody else takes the lead and the other ones rest back. And so ducks are an amazing example of kind of what we're talking about. We're just riffing right now. We always do this where it's like being in a jazz improv session where we just kind of bounce off ideas
yes.
on each other.
Love it.
But I do think that there's another topic in there where we're talking about, like, we went from you matter and you need to recognize your unique self in the world. There's no one like you. To this idea, and I would like to explore this in our next talk about blending in community and taking your uniqueness and making a contribution and being okay and feeling accepted just because you bring you, that you don't have to be anything special. You just walk in confident that you already have everything you need, and that hopefully the contract that you've made with the people in that environment is that they will accept you for who you are and that you will accept them through for who they are. And I'm not saying there won't be difficulties, because we're human beings and we have conflicts. But, you know, we have little molehills that we sometimes turn into mountains when it comes to things that set us off emotionally. But that ultimately the goal of this humanistic approach that you and I have been talking about and that we're exploring is in our chapter three of our lives. This humanistic approach means that there's going to be give and take, and that we're, like you said, we're going to be mirrors, but we're also going to lift one another up, and we're also going to give strength to one another when the other person is down, and we're going to make allowances for when you kind of screw up or when you're a little bit of an asshole. Can I say that on the air? You know, that we're going to make allowances for that, because people are allowed to be human. That's what we do. Now, I'm not talking about evil, because I'm really against what I think is bad and not humanistic. I'm very against it. But what I'm saying is I am for this idea that the more positive we are, and the more of us who are positive, and the more of us who understand what it means to be human, is love and give and not try to hurt and promote hate and that we can help shift and turn the tide. And because I'm focused on this idea of media today, I guess what I'm really saying it to our listeners is, you know, as you're discovering your you-ness and accepting who you are and liking yourself as a human being, look for every opportunity to shine the light of goodness and hope and encouragement instead of this stuff that we're battling, that we feel, that I personally in the state of Arkansas feel embattled with, because it's so negative and it's so anti everything I believe in. And so that's all I want to say. It's heavy on my heart, and it's front of my mind.
Well, you know, I'm glad to express that, and of course, you know, that's why we're put here. And that's why we go through the different ups and downs that we go through. We move into different circles and different categories. It's not important about how many you have in your circle. It's that who has your back. And sometimes when we step out, with me personally, I like to blend. But I observe, and there's certain things that I look for. And if those things are against my principle, I don't care what you say, what you do, I'm going to step away from it, because it's against my principle.
That's where I am, Linda. That's where I actually am, and that's where I am right now, is I'm still deciding whether or not I can continue in some of these agreements that I've signed up for in these human interactions. I'm still trying to decide, because the contract has been broken. We have a new governor. We have that governor changing my work every day, and I probably shouldn't be saying this publicly if anybody in Arkansas is listening to this podcast right now, but that these things that are being positioned in the media are not in alignment with my values, and I think it's dangerous, and I think it's irresponsible, and I think it is evil, and so I don't know how other people are standing up to it. I don't know how other people are going to withstand the changes that are being asked for, the executive orders and the way the money is going to be spent according to the way the legislature has created these new laws and the way the bills are going to be carried out. I don't know how people are responding to it, but I think it is destructive. And so I'm very upset about it.
That's why whenever I get in any organizations, I get in the policy and legislative team, because I want to hear. That's where it all comes from. They don't care for me too much. Because when I walk in that door, they know I got questions and some answers, too. And if you don't answer it right, I got some more questions and answers. When you say go in there and make those changes, when we talk about the political arena and things of that nature, I'm into the ones they're going to call your hand when you don't do what you said you was going to do. So that's my side, and I'm hearing that's really where you are. So you're always
no. It's worse. It's worse. It's worse. The way it's being positioned is that they say they're going to do certain things, but those certain things are, and they have to be carried out through law, are going to hurt people.
Well, they don't care.
They're going to hurt. They're going to hurt more people than they're going to help.
They into hurt. Let me tell you, and I'll say this, and I love the medical field.
Doctors. This is a whole other discussion. Yeah,
but we're going to go. I hear where you are, and I'm going to share with you. You feel the way you feel, and if you need to, you stand up, speak out, and speak up, and don't worry about it. If they don't like it, but at least it frees you. It frees you, and you go on about your business. You can't sit there and buffer. See, remember I told you when I was in my classes, and my main thing is I like that change. I was always into change agent. I was into organizational change. You know how hard it is to step in somewhere and they've been doing it that way and that's the way they do it. They don't like you at all. But if that's what you're going in there to do, to observe and make it better for all people, then you don't care what they like.
But here's the contract, though. When you enter into a job and you're being blocked because the new administration is saying – our values are different than what you've been doing. Then you're in danger. You're in a dangerous situation.
You're not in danger. You're not in danger. They're in danger. Get around. They're in danger, and we'll talk about this personally when we all say, "No, you are not in danger. They are in danger. Your beliefs, your principles, and your morals are what they are." And anytime you have beliefs, principles, and laws, you don't change that for nobody. But you got to stand up, speak up, and speak out, and don't worry about it. Period.
Well, the hardest thing for me, Linda, is not laughing in their faces because they're so ludicrous. They're so ridiculous.
Well,
and the politics are heinous. People can see through it, and they think that the voting public is too dumb to understand what they're doing.
Those of us who are awake realize that
they are in power, and we're not quite sure how they got there, but they are spreading lies, and they think that we don't know that those are the lies.
And that is
what is so ironic about the whole thing.
That's what's across the board. They are in a seat with a title. They're not in power. Nobody has power over you. They're not in power. They just got a title and a seat for one moment. But I'm going to leave us with this. Just like the people voted them in, they can vote them out. Period. And that's all I'm going to say. Y'all have to get it together down there in Arkansas. I can't come to Arkansas because where's that town?
I met some people at the art walk last night that I'd never met, complete strangers over in Argentina, North Little Rock. And they said, well, what do you think? You work at the Department of Education. What do you think about the changes? And I said, oh, they're really bad, and it's embarrassing. And then they said, people I'd never met before who live in my neighborhood, said we're embarrassed too, and I went, oh, thank God, there's somebody out here.
Put your boots on and rally with your troop. You'll find out that there's many, many people that feel the same way. They're just looking for somebody to have them stand up, speak up, and speak out, and have no fears. And on that note, because we are here, it's change agent time is over. There's change managers, change makers, and change leaders. You are in the category of a change leader. Stand up, speak up, and speak out, and don't worry about it.
You're always good for me, Miss Linda.
You're not in danger. You flip that script and let them know that they're in danger. Because, see, they're there for the people. They're there to serve the people. When they get those titles and those seats, they get it confused. But it's the people that have to remind them. That's why I move the way I move. I don't like, my people were political. I get out there every now and then. I love to get in the, I'm working on the backside now. I've been on the front side, but they don't care too much for me when I step in the room, but I'm not here for popularity. I'm here for the justice of the people. They are here to serve the people. You will never be in danger. They are in danger. And I'm going to close out with that, Professor Bird. I hate to pop this whip the way I am, but, you know, you're talking about a subject that gets me real riled up. They are not in danger. They are in danger. And find your think-alikes and get busy. And what I say, welcome to Arkansas. You know, I'm that Southern girl, so I know how it go down there. But Arkansas operates a little bit different than Texans. Texans, you don't want to mess with, period, on either side, who's for and who's against, because they don't care. They going to get the job done. You either poop or get off the pot. Okay, bottom line. That's all I have to say. Professor Bird, I love you. I'm going to speak with you person.
I'm so glad that you came
on. You always bring this out of me. But that's a good thing. They need to see this side. We love you.
Uh-huh.
And take care. And I will be speaking with you. Up and up, stand up, speak up, and speak out. Love you.
Right. That's right.
We'll be right back. waking up with Linda Mitchell.
Ah, you said it, girl.
Sharing care.
Yeah. Ooh, we share and care with love all through the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
We give, showing others how to live.
We share with love all through the land.